Okay, I'm going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and I'm going to read verse 10 to the end of the chapter. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 10 to the end of the chapter. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. And then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And then they took on an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. Also he removed Maachah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image and then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. And he also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Well, I trust that the Lord will bless us. I bet you cannot wait until I speak on utensils. What a great message that will be. I don't know whether you've ever looked at the back of a tapestry, but the back of a tapestry is a complete and utter mess. It doesn't really show you what is on the front of the tapestry. And sometimes, you know, I know Terence was saying about me delving into the Old Testament, but I feel like the Old Testament is very much the back of a tapestry. You can read some of the Old Testament and you can go through some of the passages, and even one that I've read this morning, and you might think, what on earth is this all about? Why is he digging into those old-fashioned books? Just get back to Jesus. But I'm beginning to see, and I don't think I've ever seen this in my ministry before until these past 3 years, how incredible the Old Testament is. You know, that challenge that I gave myself to sort of speak on the Old Testament minor prophets. Now, what a crazy thing to do. You know, I don't know whether I thought I was going to show off or whether I was mad. I think it's more the second. Complete madness to delve into books of the Old Testament. And yet it's been such an incredible blessing. I think it was mentioned just the other week. I'm not quite sure who mentioned it, but we were thinking about the two men who were walking, or the two, I keep saying the two men because I just take that for granted. But these two people, they were walking on that road of Emmaus, and Jesus opened up the scriptures to them. And you know, he didn't have the Gospels in his hand. He didn't have the books of Paul. All Jesus had was the laws of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. And he opened up all of that, and he revealed himself through those scriptures. And the hearts of those men, or people, burned within them And that's how I feel. I have just felt such excitement as I've unfurled these scriptures that you think, what on earth have we got all this stuff about utensils? What on earth is this all about? And yet, you're looking at the back of a tapestry. You're looking at the mess of nations that try and work things out for themselves. But when you begin to see these scriptures through Jesus, all of a sudden you turn this tapestry around and there is this incredible picture. And this picture is Jesus. This picture is Jesus. Every thread that goes through the Old Testament, it is Jesus, every single thread. And when we look at it through him, it is a beautiful picture of a God who was fulfilling his purpose for a nation called Israel, but not just Israel. It was the fulfillment for every single person upon planet Earth, past, present, and future. And it's an amazing picture. And it's an incredible picture that I'm going to bring for you this morning. Just one of those threads. One of those threads. And here it is, right here in the great book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 15. In a story about a king who brought reformation. A king who desired with all of his heart to come back to God. He didn't get everything right. And yet his heart was right before God. His desires were good. And because of that, those tapestries, those threads began to appear again. In these verses that we just read, you know, you remember last time we spoke about how Judah and Benjamin, who were, of course, that tribe of Judah, and also some of those who wanted to seek God from the northern kingdoms, they also joined and they came together because they realized that Asa had something. There was something about God in him. So anyone who had a heart for God could see something different about this king. He was different to every king who had been in Israel. And as we said, every king who would be in Israel. There was not one good king in the kingdom of Israel. But at last he was a light. And those who were seeking God could see a light. And they gathered in Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And at that point, sacrifice came back with meaning. They offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls, 7,000 sheep from the spoil that they had brought. A lot of blood. But you see, the blood is one of those threads. There is no sacrifice without blood that does not point to Jesus. And here is this sacrifice coming up before God. All of these animals, you know, those poor sheep. Those poor bulls, I don't know how the Animal Liberation Front would cope if they were part of Israel. You know, if they were part of this great woke society, I don't know how they would get away with any of this. But here they are offering up. They bring a sacrifice before God. Just as I trust this morning, we have brought our sacrifice of praise. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We might have had to push through this morning. We might have to have overcome some of the events of the week. We might have to have put aside some of the struggles, some of the burdens. And this morning we've come with our sacrifice of praise. And as that sacrifice rises up before God, it is like sweet-smelling incense. You know, it's crazy to think that the slaughtering of all these animals was like a sweet-smelling incense before him. You know, over these last few weeks, we've had a big push on cleaning in Asda. I haven't had a good Asda story for at least 3 days. And what happens when there's a push? Because we've got the cleaning auditor coming. And whenever the cleaning auditor comes, it's one of those moments where you have to pretend you always walk around with your D10 spray and your cloth. D10 spray is supposed to get rid of anything and everything. But what you realise is sometimes some of these little shelvings have not been cleaned for a little while in the way that they should have been cleaned. I shouldn't be telling you this, really, should I? And when you open up these great fridges, especially where I work in the meat department, and you take off especially your chickens to clean, there is not a sweet-smelling aroma coming from that shelf. In fact, customers come down the aisle, "What on earth is that stink?" And I'm like, "It's all right for you. You can walk away. I've got my head stuck in this place with my D10, my scraper, and my cloth, and every magic implement that I can find to try and get rid of this." In fact, we take a lot of the covers out the bag. We get the spray washer on them. And wherever you walk, you leave a sweet-smelling aroma. "What is that smell?" you hear people say. And yet this sacrifice before God, it comes up as a sweet-smelling aroma. It is not the stench of death that is hitting the nostrils of God. It's the sacrifice that these people bring. It's their heart. Just as our worship is, it's not our singing. You know, God is not up in heaven going, "Oh, beautiful tunes this morning, especially from Emmanuel. Fantastic." It isn't that. You know, you can be up here with your orchestra and, you know, you see them sometimes on the telly. There's more people on the platform than we could ever dream of being in our fullness of church. And they're all, you know, all in tune and all doing something fantastic. The bassist is playing, ooh, not as good as David mine, but he's up there doing his bit. The drummer, ooh, yes, he's doing his solos. And they've got about 42 singers and everything is like angelic sounds. But then you can go to other places and you wonder if the guitarist, and this is not about Emmanuel, because I have been to places where it's worse in sound. And you think, has that guitarist ever had a lesson? And, you know, they're sort of up there. And it's a bit like me trying to plug away. I can still do dun, 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 dun. That's about the only tune I've ever played on a guitar. Nothing else of the song, just that riff. But you're up there and you think, man, oh man, is there a tune even in this? And then you have to pretend to try and sing along. But you look around and everyone else is in the heavenlies. But you know, God does not get a better aroma from the professionalism than he does from the row. Because it's not about the sound. It's not about what we think we're bringing. It's to do with the heart. And it's like that with this sacrifice. It's the heart of the people that becomes like a sweet-smelling aroma to him. And he's pleased. And that's why God inhabits the praises of his people. He's inhabited our praises today. He's a part of what we have done. And it's good, isn't it? It's good when we gather and sing. It's good when we... And, you know, even where... Alison's always nudging me and looking at me because I give it a go even when I don't know. And sometimes I don't even hold back. It's like in my head I think I know it. And I don't know it. And some sort of tune comes out, and even sometimes the right words. But I trust God sees the heart that is there. And it raises up as a sacrifice. So they offered these bulls. They offered these sheep from their own spoil. It was from their own possession. And they gave it to God. And then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all of their soul. Covenant. The thread of blood and the thread of covenant. The first time we read about covenant in Scripture is right back in the book of Genesis. And it's even before we get to the covenant with Abraham. God brings a covenant with Noah. It says in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 9, "As for me," this is God, "behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the rainbow shall be in the cloud. And I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." The first mention of covenant is with Noah. And it's a covenant of promise from God. And the sign of this promise is a sign which, you know, we're led to believe is a new symbol in this day and age. A new symbol. And we're actually in the month of rainbows. Do you know that? This is rainbow month. That's what I'm being told in work. Rainbow month. I don't know how they think that this is the first. It's almost like, oh, wow, isn't this a profound thing? We've got lots of colours in the rainbow. Get a grip. Get a grip. There was a sign of covenant that was way, 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 way before any gay person thought they're in a nice place of colour. Whether they think they're red, green, orange, blue, indigo, violet. Whichever part they think they are in this great spectrum. There was a rainbow. And this rainbow was with Noah. And it was a sign for mankind to know that God was a God of promise. that he was a God of covenant. And it was like the first thread of this tapestry. The first needle was put into this picture. And it's almost like you look at this and you think, where is this going? Where is this story going? How is this going to come into this complete, incredible, amazing picture? God, who is almighty, who is incredible, who is profound, God, who is the creator, God, who is the maker of all things, God is a God of covenant. And he reveals it to Noah in the rainbow. And it's not long then before another great patriarch, Abraham, comes onto the scene. And God appears to Abraham. At that time, he's just known as Abram. Poor thing, you know, he was probably born thinking, I wish I had a longer name. Abram. But here is God, Genesis chapter 15. After these things, and we haven't got time this morning because you know I like an after these things. Melchizedek had appeared to him. Terence has preached it, look it up online. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and said, look now towards the heaven. Count the stars if you're able. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord. And he accounted it to him for righteousness. And the Lord said to him, I am the Lord who has brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. The thread of covenant. But hang on, there's also the thread of blood. The thread of blood and the thread of covenant just so seem to be together. Genesis chapter 17, when Abram was 99 years old. Getting on a bit. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. The covenant of God. Abram is 99, and at the age of 99, God appears and says, happy birthday, Abram! Now, Abraham, you're still going to have a baby. 99? Grief, I can't cope being a grandfather when I'm 59. Imagine having that thought at 99 that you're going to continue to be a father, because all of a sudden God restores this covenant. You are going to have descendants from your body. And it's like at that point in time, Ishmael was born. He's sort of looking at Ishmael thinking, is he the one? And God's like, no, this is going to come from you and Sarah. This is the promise. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. What a covenant. And not only that, I've got another gift. You can be circumcised. Happy birthday. The thread of covenant and the thread of blood. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We meet with a king called David. David has this incredible thought in his heart. They've got the Ark of the Covenant, but there's no real place to put this Ark of the Covenant. We've got the presence of God. Surely we need a great ornate temple. And he shares this with Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet at first says, that sounds good, David. I'm behind you, but I'm going home to bed. Now it came to pass, this is 2 Samuel 7, when the king was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. The king said to Nathan, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. And Nathan said, go, do everything that's in your heart, for the Lord's with you. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And it said, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought you, the children of Israel, up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoke a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? You know, David's concern is we need this great ornate temple to house the presence of God. And God is like, has it ever bothered me? Can you contain me in a building? Can you contain my presence in bricks and mortar? Have I ever made that a burden on the people? Verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. your throne will be established forever. The covenant with David concerns the kingdom and the throne that will be established forever. David, as a man, is concerned with the things of the earth. And although his concerns are godly, although his concerns are with the presence, it is still something that's very earthly. It's all to do with buildings. It's all to do with earth. It's all to do with plots of ground. It's all to do with what we can see. But God is putting a thread in this tapestry of covenant. And although this time we don't read about the blood, we read about the kingship. The thread of covenant comes with David as a promise to him. This kingdom will be established for all generations. This is not about kings on a throne down here. This is not about temples or tabernacles or inner places of holiness. This is to do with a throne of forever. This kingdom will be established forever. It's a thread that when you look at the back of the tapestry of all of the covenant, you think, what a mess this is. But you turn it over. Jesus. To Noah, you turn it over and it's Jesus. To Abraham, you turn it over and it's Jesus. To David, you turn it over and it's Jesus. You know, we've mentioned all this. And we haven't even mentioned the law of Moses. The covenant that was made with him. We seem to have skipped over him because, you know, in a way we might think, oh, you know, what has that got to do with Jesus? What's that? But there was this covenant, there was this promise, there was this law that was brought before the people of God. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. This is almost like the Old Testament Beatitudes. Blessed shall you be. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Here is the covenant. You know, it sounds great when you read that chapter. Who thought Deuteronomy could be so cheerful? Who realized there were so many blesseds in Deuteronomy? Blessed this and blessed that. Whatever we do, when I go out, blessed. When I stay in, blessed. Whatever I put my hands to, I'm blessed. You know, this sounds great. Thank you, God. Thank you for this promise. Oh, there's another. Oh, we got here. Yeah, there's another 33 chapters in Deuteronomy. Oh, yeah. Oh, and we got Leviticus as well. Numbers. Exodus, we've got all these things that God is asking us to do. Oh, he sort of condensed it a little bit in what we call the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, but he then expounds it a little bit as well. You know, you can't wear clothing that's made of two different materials. Tough. No, you can't have cotton and acrylic together. If you do that, you're going to be banished. Oh, you're really going to be banished. Oh, dear me. I've just made this shirt. How am I going to get away with that? You know, you can't do this. You can't look at your neighbour's wife. You can't do this. You can't do anything. Da, da, da. Hang on a minute. Those six verses were good. Blessed this and blessed that. But the law of Moses, the old covenant, the old covenant that was made with man. It is part of the covenant tapestry that God starts to build. But through what we've read already, surely it is a covenant that's to do with sacrifice. It's a covenant that's to do with shedding of blood. It's a covenant that's to do with God wanting to bless his people. And yes, God wants to bless his people. Oh boy, oh boy, he said it here. Blessed, blessed, blessed. He wants to bless us. How are we going to keep all this? Because at the beginning of those blessings, he said, if you obey, that standard is pretty high, God. How are we going to obey? Can't we just do some of it? If you obey all of these commands that I give you. There are some pretty high standards in life. You know, I've realized that both in work, our cleaning auditor, she will always find that one thing that you've missed. It's always there. You know, you've got the gleam of Colgate everywhere. Ding. But with her microscopic eyes, she will find the one pricing ticket that's a little bit dirty. And we've got 10 million pricing tickets. But she's super sleuth. Even more sleuthful than Columbo. It's there. Standards. The standard's too high. It's the standard Alison makes with cleaning. I've realised that over these last few weeks even more. What a standard. It's too high. Who can ever pass the cleaning audit of the leader's house? We can't, can we, Math?
Nope.
Never. Yeah, we can spend hours doing it. We're sweat, blood, tears, everything. It does not pass the cleaning audit of leader. It's too high. And here are these laws. The old covenant that God makes. How are we ever going to obtain to that? How are we ever going to be a part of this incredible tapestry? How are we going to see the beauty of the picture on the other side of Jesus? Jeremiah 31. And verse 31. I love this. 31:31. Remember that. Fantastic verse. You might forget which book it's in. But there are not many of them that have got 31 chapters. You'll get there in the end. 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the hand of Egypt. My covenant which they broke. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This thread of covenant is all of a sudden starting to take shape. There is a new covenant. There is a fresh promise coming from God. And I think in a way that's just the expression of language to help us, because I think that covenant was in the heart of God all along. We can see that because the blood has always been there. We can see that because the promise of God has always been there. We can see it because the throne has always been there. It's just to help us to see there was this picture of old covenant, the one that was given to their fathers at the time of Moses. And what does it say here? You broke it. You broke it, and there's no way this is going to be fixed. And we can look at that and say, oh, it says they, it's their fault. Got nothing to do with us. But we all fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us here can have the pride to think, huh, we'd have done a better job. That's what we think sometimes, don't we? Oh, I could have done that better than them. It was too high. Even if we had obeyed 9 of the commandments and 600 of the little comments that God made about these commandments, even if we'd done that, we'd have still failed. We would not have obtained the standard. The tapestry would have still looked a mess from the back. But he's going to make a new covenant. And this covenant is going to be about forgiveness. This covenant is going to be about not remembering our sins anymore. This covenant is Jesus. This is what we've done this morning already. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. His throne is eternal. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave it to them and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he also took the cup after supper and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. The thread of covenant and the thread of blood is Jesus. It is Jesus. My body, which is given for you. what was conceived, what we think in the time of Noah, but it was conceived in the heavens before of all time. Conceived as a word of promise from God. What was conceived at the time of Abraham, and even with Abraham, blood. Blood was part of the theme. Covenant was part of the theme. At the time of David, it was conceived there that his kingdom would be forever. At the time of Moses, a law that we could not keep. But conceived during the time of Jeremiah was the thought of one who would come to forgive us our sins. Jesus was conceived as a man, born to Mary. Conceived with the purpose to die for our sins. And as I draw to a close this morning, these are words I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8 verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. You see, David wanted to build a temple, but this is not erected by man. This is something conceived in the heart of God. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who served the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. And he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. All things. Make sure it's to do all things. But now, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. You know, if the law of Moses was it, we wouldn't have needed anything else. But it was given to reveal that the heart of man could never reach the standard. It was to reveal our hearts, not the heart of God. The heart of God was always there to be gracious. It was always there to be merciful. It was always there to be forgiving. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Well, there's those words from Jeremiah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. There is a new covenant. Jesus the mediator of a new covenant. Jesus, who shed his perfect blood as a sacrifice. No more animals. No more laws of Moses. It's just the back of the tapestry. It is the picture of all of the threads, and at the back it looks a complete mess, because that's what mankind is like without God. But when you've got the thread of covenant, and you've got the thread of the blood, and you look, and you fix your eyes. And I don't know about you, but when I fix my eyes, I see Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith, the mediator of a better covenant, the perfect Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. You shall be my people, and I shall be your God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the tapestry of Scripture that when we look, when we carefully look, all we see is Jesus. Jesus, our Saviour. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our King. The mediator of a better covenant. Just bless these thoughts to us this morning, I pray. In your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen.